All right. Good morning, church. It's very good to be in the house of the Lord. It's been a blessed week, except for the rain and the cold this week. It's been a little bit tougher than we had a week ago, but hopefully it'll warm up again this week and we'll be on with our good weather again. I've entitled the lesson today, Happy to Share, and it's actually about sharing our faith. You know, there's a lot of things that as Christians we share with one another, but I would like this morning to look at some scriptures that are talking about being happy to share Jesus Christ with others and celebrating that. And, you know, we just sang that song, I Will Celebrate, singing to the Lord, and it reminded me of all the scriptures that we have that talk about being happy in Jesus. I want to begin today actually in Mark chapter 16, and then we're going to go to Romans. But Mark chapter 16 is right at the end of Mark, beginning with verse 15 and 16. So he said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. So Jesus asks us, or commands us, I guess you could say, to go and preach the word, to go and share our faith with those around us. And not just to our neighbors, but it says to go into all the world. And I guess a lot of you pay attention to our board back here in the back, the missionaries that we have different places. Burlton gave us an update on that this morning. So by our giving, we do go around the world and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. Because we give to the Gideons International. We're now in over 200 countries just with the Gideons. So sharing the word of God around the world with those who need to hear it. And the last two verses of the chapter here, I just wanted you to see. So this was what he was telling the disciples here. It was just, this was what, right after Jesus' death and resurrection, by the way. And so he was telling the disciples that they need to go and share his testimony or their testimony with the world. And then he goes on there in the next few verses to talk about the signs that will follow the church, that follow believers. And then in verse 19, it says, after the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. Then look what the disciples did. It says, then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied them. So the other thing that I want you to understand this morning is when you're sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, he's right there with you. It's not you that's doing it, but it's him. God is faithful, and just as he was with the disciples, he's with us there to share. You know, so many things we do, we try to do in our own strength, but we don't have to do that in our own strength. It's God working through us. But by the grace of God, and Matt can tell you this as well, that's the only way that him and I can be up here, is that we know that God is speaking through us. Because, as you know, neither one of us are eloquent in speech. We just do what God tells us to do, basically. So I'm not a scholar, but I can read the word and I can share it with you, and so that we can grow together in Jesus Christ. Let's go to Romans chapter 10 now. Romans chapter 10, we're going to be looking at starting at verse 8 and going down through 17 here. This is talking about our faith again. But what does it say? The word is near you, is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So he's not just calling a few, he's calling everyone to walk with him. I think the other thing that I want you to realize this morning is the world, unbelievers are not our enemy, but they're only there because Satan has them believing that that's where he wants them. Satan comes to kill and destroy. That's what his job. He's here to kill us, to destroy us. But God brings life. He comes to bring us life. And so the world is not our enemy, but Satan in them is our enemy. So we have to pay attention to who our enemy is and take authority over him. It says, how then can they call on the one that they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So he's asking a lot of questions here. How can anyone call on the name of the Lord if they don't believe in him? And how can they believe unless someone tells them about the Lord Jesus Christ? How can they hear unless someone preaches to them? And how can we preach unless we're sent? Well, that's why I read Mark, the end of Mark there first this morning, because that's where Jesus is sending us out. So we are sent. All of us are sent by Jesus Christ to bring the message to the world. And then after they hear the word of God, God brings the increase. And that's another thing that we have to pay attention to, because so many times we as Christians are afraid that we're going to fail in some way. That's why I want you to understand that it's God working through you, not you doing it by yourself. We don't have to worry about the outcome. We just have to share what Jesus has done in our lives and who he is to us. If we have a relationship with him, it'll be easy to share our faith with someone else. It'll be easy to share what God is doing in our lives with those we come in contact with, because it's a wonderful, loving relationship. And that's why our relationship with him is so important. It says, not all the Israelites accepted the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. So faith in Jesus Christ comes by hearing the message. And the message comes from the word of God. And that's one of the things I love about being a Gideon is I can share the word of God. I can send the word of God throughout the world, and we hear testimony after testimony come back of how people's lives are changed just because they began to read a copy of God's word. God speaks to people through his word. So that is an awesome way to reach the lost. Sharing your faith can be both exciting and it can be fun. Psalms 126:6 reminds us, those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. So, it says there in Psalms that we're going to go out weeping, but come back with songs of joy because of the harvest that God brings. So, next to personally knowing Jesus Christ as my Savior, probably the next greatest thing is leading someone to the Lord Jesus. I don't know how many of you who have ever done that in any capacity at all, but it's an awesome feeling to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with someone and see them respond to it. And as all of you know, many times we share it and they don't respond. They'll reject it. And perhaps you've been praying for and sharing with family members for a long time and you haven't seen any difference in their lives. But just know that sowing the seed is part of the harvest. Just as a farmer sows his seed and expects a crop to come up, it's also as we share Jesus Christ with others, we're sowing seed. We may not be in on the harvest, but because we sowed the seed, the harvest will be reaped, and God will get the increase. I'm going to go now to Luke chapter 15. And verses 3 through 7. This is the parable of the lost sheep. It says, then Jesus told him this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Great rejoicing in heaven when one lost person comes to the Lord. You know, we've had some really rejoicing times here as we've baptized people in the tank over here. It's been awesome to, in the time that we've been here with our family, there's been I don't know how many people saved through the ministry here, and it's been fun to see. Great times of rejoicing. And the little bit that we rejoice, if we could get a little glimpse of the rejoicing that's going on in heaven, What an awesome deal that is, I bet. I don't think that we know how to rejoice yet. When I think of how, you know, David, when he came, when he brought the ark back to Jerusalem, and he was dancing there before the ark and just dancing with abandon, and he totally knew how to rejoice and how to praise the Lord. And I don't think we understand it yet. Possibly we won't until we get to glory and see the saints around the throne bowing down to the Father. But there's more rejoicing over one sinner that comes to the Lord than over all of us who are saved coming week after week and doing what we're supposed to be doing here. It's a joyous and happy time to share Jesus with others and so that they can begin their walk with Him. And the other thing that I want you to realize is we don't have to be qualified to share Jesus Christ. We don't have to have any kind of a degree or a college education. Don't have to have an education at all. You know, you can look as Jesus called His disciples. He wasn't calling a lot of scholars, but He was calling the working class men to come and share their lives with Him and to walk with Him. And so we don't, he's really not looking at our ability, but at our availability. If we're available to do his work, then he makes us able. He gives us the ability. In 2 Corinthians 4, 7, it says, "We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure." This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. So we're not looking for anything in ourselves, but it's the gift of God through Jesus Christ our Lord that gives us the power to share. We don't have to be qualified. We don't have to have a college degree or even a high school education to be able to share Jesus Christ, because it's about what he's done in our lives. It's about sharing who he is with others. God does not call the qualified, but he qualifies the called. So when he calls us, he gives us the abilities that we need to do what he asks us to do. And that's what's often awesome about the Christian life. The other thing that we do as we're working to share Jesus with others is to build a bridge with them, or build a relationship, engage ourselves with them, or engage them with us. In Philippians, you know, we talk there. There's a talk in Philippians about the. When Philip went to be with the her, it's just actually in Acts chapter 8, verse 30. I'll just read it to you. It says, "Philip ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah, and he asked, 'Do you understand what you're reading?'" So many times God will put people in our paths, and all we have to do maybe is ask a question to get them engaged. To build a bridge of communication so that we can tell them about Jesus Christ and who he is. That's one of the things that they taught us at the Gideons, is to ask important questions that can engage people. Do you know that Jesus loves you? Many people don't. They don't understand Jesus. And they don't know. When I was handing out Bibles at the fair down in Mark County, there was a young man that came in, and we gave him a testament, and he come back just a little bit later, and he had been out reading it already, and he said, "I don't know who this Jesus is that it's talking about." So I had a chance to share with him who Jesus is, and I thought, wow, somebody here in our own county that doesn't even know who Jesus is. To me, that was strange, to find somebody that doesn't know who Jesus is. But I was able to communicate with him and engage in his life, who Jesus is, and tell him that he died for his sins. You can also ask a question like, if you died today, do you know where you would spend eternity? Many people don't understand that even. They don't know where they would spend eternity. So there's just important little questions like that that you can ask to engage, to get them to think about your Savior and who he is in their lives and what he's doing in their lives. Jesus engaged people. He conversed with Nicodemus, Zacchaeus, the rich young ruler, and the woman at the well. And you'll notice in each one of these instances that he didn't just come in and say, "Look, I'm God, and you're not, so just listen." But he engaged them in conversation that turned them towards him. Many times, and you've probably heard people who turn people off by the way they come across. And I might have been one of these that did that when I was pretty excited when I got saved and filled with the Spirit, and I wanted everybody else to know and to have what I had, and so I was pretty crazy about telling others, and many times they didn't want to hear it. So it's how we approach, it's how we come across to people. We can turn them off just as easily as turning them on to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have to engage and pay attention to what they're saying and learn to listen. I think listening is probably one of the most important things we do in a relationship, is paying attention and hearing, not just listening, but hearing what they're saying, and then being able to communicate through the power of Jesus Christ what's going on in their lives. There was a guy by the name of George Smith that says he thought his ministry was a failure. He felt called to Africa, but after a short time he was driven from the country. He left behind one convert, a woman. Not long after that, George Smith died on his knees praying for Africa. So he was a missionary. He went to Africa to preach the gospel there. But he was driven from Africa. He had to leave right away. But one person got saved while he was there. Some years later, it says, a group of men stumbled onto the same place in Africa where George Smith had ministered. And they found a copy of the scriptures that he had left behind. And they met the one convert of his ministry, who led them to the Lord. Later, a missions organization did a study and determined that 100 years after George Smith left Africa, 13,000 people had come to faith through his ministry, as one person reached another, who reached another, and so on. So you can see that's the multiplication thing that I talked to you about several weeks ago, about how if we'll disciple one other person, and then next year two of us disciple two, the multiplication process adds lots of people to the kingdom. So don't be afraid to share to just that one person, to make them understand that Jesus is Lord. So through his short ministry, George Smith, the work that he did to just one convert saved lots and lots of people. So maybe just one person that you share Jesus Christ with will turn out to be as awesome as Billy Graham or somebody else that you can plug into that scenario. It's not about how many, but it's about sharing Jesus when he calls us to. There's just many times in our lives as we come in contact with people and in our work or ball games, whatever we're doing, many times there's somebody who just needs to hear something uplifting, something that will encourage them. And that's how we can learn to share Jesus Christ with others. So let it be a time of joy, a happy time. It's not something that has to be hard, but it just has to be our obedience taking us where Jesus wants us to go. Hallelujah. So this morning, as we wind up, I'm just going to allow time for you guys to come for prayer. If there's anybody here at all who has never accepted the Lord as your Savior, please come and do that at this time. We don't have any idea that we'll have tomorrow or even this afternoon, guys. So it's important that we take that step of faith and begin to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you do that, the change in your life will be so awesome and so great that you will. Also, I wanted to just share that the Roman road here in the back of our little testaments that we give out. In John 3:16, it said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And then in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." But then it says, "And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And then in Romans 10:13, it says, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." So Jesus makes a way through scriptures for us to understand that He is the only way to eternal salvation. Hallelujah. So if you want to pray, come and we'll be here to pray with you. And we'll wind this thing up. Thank you. Let's close this morning with prayer. Father, I thank you so much for our time together. Thank you, Lord, for just being in the midst of everything that we do. Put people in our paths this week that we can share you with. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.